Hello and welcome to part two of our interview with Wesley Fox about removing evil spirits. Let's continue on with our conversation.
The next morning comes. We finally get with Chris and Roseanne, you know, after they had the little few errands that they were also going to do there in Branson. And we were off on one heck of an investigation, let me tell you. Investigation starts probably about 5 p.m. in the afternoon, and we probably took turns investigating rooms after room. Chris and Roseanne were gracious hosts. They, you know, Chris barbecued some stuff outside and made just an amazing dinner. We loved it. We all loved the heck out of it. Mm-hmm. Some of the different evidence we ended up with in probably about 18-hour period. I know one of the things, and this is kind of funny, but my nephew, you know, we kind of got the personality, you know, we're men, we're boys, we fart, things like that. Him, his wife, and Brandon were in the laundry area there at Chris and Roseanne's house, really small room, small, compacted. And they were in there doing an EVP session. And of course, you know, part of Chris's meal was baked beans. So, you know, Mark, pass gas. And you can't really hear that part on the recorder because they started the recorder and Mark kind of laughing. You hear Mark laughing and he's like, okay, guys, let's get serious now. And then right before they ask the question, you hear a voice, and I have it on my computer. I'm going to try to find some of this stuff and I'll email it to you personally.
Okay.
But yeah, this thing says, can't smell it, which was just hilarious when I come up with it, when I heard that, when I was going over the evidence later on. But we got some pictures that night. One picture was, it looked like a, you know how a lot of times when you see like satanic symbols, they use like the bull's or the goat head.
Sure.
You almost see like this, and it's kind of weird because it's almost like a ghost picture of like a half goat, half cow with the horns and the whole nine yards, but it's just a face in their living room. I know we got that picture that night. And I do believe I woke up being scratched that night. We got a couple other EVPs, mostly just growls. But before we left, we did another blessing. We wanted to do it, and that's another reason I wanted Mark and Christina there. I figured more people, you know, do like a mass blessing. Mm-hmm. more people in the power of Christ, you know, makes things better. And so we did the blessing, but as we were not even really finished yet, I know my ex-partner looked at me and said, it's still here, it's going from room to room above us in the attic. But we finished the blessing. We thought it might be gone because, you know, we did something up in the attic as well. And then I'll tell you this little story right before we left. And this was before the blessing too. Chris had cooked breakfast and there was an empty water bottle. And it was sitting, you know, normal upright. And Chris said something to me. I turned, and then we turned back. That bottle was sitting there, just sitting perfect on its lid. You know, like, you know, on the other end, like, how in the heck did that happen? Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't hear it, but how is it balancing like that, you know? So that was just kind of like a show of like, ha-ha, you know?
Sure.
But after the blessing, like I said, we get about halfway home, and then Chris calls me and says, Wesley, it's still here. He said, you know, I really don't know what to do. So we called Joe, got with Joe, let him know, hey, this is what's going on. This is still here. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to do something different. We've got to, you know, figure out a way to come to get rid of this. During this time, I can tell you, because there was about, I want to say that next weekend is when we had to go to Nolan's house. So probably 3 weeks later. And during this time with the 3 weeks, you know, they have stuff going on and stuff gets worse. They came home from, one of the kids just got baptized. in church one night. Mm-hmm. And that was one of their, probably their worst nights they've had. Justin was sitting in one of the bar stools, and he got up to go help his dad do something. All of a sudden, they heard this loud smack. And they can't, you know, they're looking all around to see what it was that had fallen or whatever, and they don't find anything. But they go back to that bar stool where Justin was sitting at, and there is a handprint, and it looks almost like a skeleton hand. And it's just like right there on the bar, on that stool, which we have that picture as well.
It did not like
that happened that night.
It did not like that there was a baptism that had just occurred.
Oh no, it made it mad. Oh my good Lord. When they all stood by the Christmas tree, they hadn't taken down yet. And they all did a, you know, was praying together as a family. And one of their Christmas tree bulbs just kind of lifts up, levitates, starts spinning, and it's like thrown somewhere.
Before we get
just another show of power,
before we get too much further ahead of what ended up happening, I want to ask you, when you went in for that second investigation, and you had that evening there and the night you got scratched and all that, what was the goal of that investigation? Was it strictly to find evidence, or was it also partially there to help try and drive out the entity from the home?
My number one priority is always to get rid of the entity.
Okay.
Getting the evidence, investigating, mm-hmm. that's to me is secondary, because, I mean, it is kind of fun. I will tell you, it is fun investigating.
Sure.
A lot of times when it is a scarier case, the more adrenaline rush you get. It is a strange kind of high, mm-hmm. but it's good. But it's me. It's not like the high of having these families, you know, not having to deal with this stuff. Because yeah. I remember how it was. My wife Nikki. I mean, she knows how it was to deal with stuff and people not to believe you.
Sure.
So, but you know, my number one priority is always for the family to have their sanity back.
Yeah.
And I was. You know, so going in that investigation, I was like, okay, so we're going to get rid of this once and for all, because I'm very cocky mm-hmm. when it comes to that. You know, well, we'll beat it. That's we'll true. Take care of it. So I don't know if you want to call it cocky or confident.
Sure.
So by the time we're leaving, I get that phone call. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of irritated, because now it's like, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
It's still there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting at wit's end. So... after, you know, we do the Nolan case, and I think we got snowed in the second weekend, so we wasn't able to go then. So when we finally got to go again, you know, Joe had a little bit of a plan. We had a different prayer we were going to try. So me, and there's only three of us down there this time. It was me and Brandon. We're two. But we had Joe on the phone and telling Joe about some of the stuff that was going on right after we first started that investigation. Mm-hmm. And we started getting these voices on that were coming through on the phone. Like, you would hear us say something. Oh, this isn't live, correct?
Correct.
So I can tell you exact language right now?
Sure. I'll make a note here on where we're at. Timestamp to edit.
Because we heard somebody, and this was plain as day, say, motherfucker.
Okay. Oh, you can swear. Swear all you want. There's no, we have no rules on that, so you're fine. I don't even need to edit that.
Okay. Okay, and everybody's like, okay, what the hell? And I was telling Joe, and my exact words was, Joe, someone just got called an MF-er, mm-hmm. because I was trying to be nice, because, you know, Joe was minister. Mm-hmm. And... next thing we know, there's a voice that comes over and it says, it's supposed to be you, Wes. That scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
And then Chris, I don't know exactly what happened, but Chris said something about standing up for his family or something. Then all of a sudden, he starts doubling over in pain in his stomach. And he said it was just like someone just stabbed him. And then next thing we know, Chris is running to the bathroom, you know, throwing up and just getting sick. And Brandon's like, oh my God, you know, he's something's, you know, something's about, really bad about to happen. Mm-hmm. So we, Joe said some type of prayer and it kind of eased up a little bit. But we ended up, after, you know, several more EVPs and other little things happening here and there, finally, you know, we all kind of said this different prayer. And, you know, throughout the house, kind of like we normally did before, and I was gone.
Gone just for that night?
gone for good.
Wow.
That was kind of the end of their struggle with that. But, you know, there was other things that kind of popped up later. But that was, I think, because Chris and Roseanne, they ended up coming up to Branson at different times and helping us with cases.
Okay.
In fact, I mean, they don't show it on the series of Haunting, but Chris and Roseanne were there during Nolan's exorcism.
Okay.
So, I mean, so they helped us quite a bit. So I think, you know, some of the other stuff that would kind of mess with them every now and then, especially if we did have another demonic case or something, things would happen. And of course, a lot of stuff would happen to Chris. Chris was like their target for whatever reason. I know one, we were getting ready to do a demonic case on a Saturday night, and that Friday morning when he got up to go to work, as he's getting up and he's walking, all of a sudden something pushes him into their, I believe it was their dresser, and then he caught the corner of it and it put a big old gash in his head and he had to have stitches.
Wow. How some folks are more open and they're more sensitive and they're able to pick up on things easier than others. Do you think that there are some people who are more susceptible to be attached to by forces, almost as you're describing this couple, where they got rid of this out of their home, or everyone helped to get rid of this out of their home, but then other things started to kind of attach and come back, almost as if what I deal with, once you have bronchitis, you're more susceptible to get it again. Are there people who are more susceptible to be essentially conduits to be attached to than others?
Oh, I think so, yes. Especially, you know, if you've played with that Ouija board, if you've you know, done a seance.
That wraps up part two of our interview with Wesley Fox about removing evil spirits. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi for The Grave Talks. Thanks for listening.